thank you so much for being here this morning. There are some things there. I got some ringing. If you kind of adjust that, I don't know what's going on, but there are some things that are coming up this in the next few weeks that I am super excited about, and I can't wait to share with you. I've had to push that back because of some family stuff that I have to deal with in Tennessee, but I am so excited about it. I've talked to you a little bit about it already. We are getting ready, are already in the process of developing a set of plans for a brand new building for New Freedom Church. That is very, very exciting. We're in our second round of plans right now. And what I want to do is, when I present this to you guys, is to have a 3D rendering so that you can kind of get a tour yourself of what it looks like. And we've been working on it for a long time. I'm excited about it. New Freedom Church needs a new home. Amen? And so we're excited about it already. And by the way, can I just tell you this? I haven't really, we haven't had any kind of, formal announcement about raising money or any of that stuff. And in the last 7 weeks, we have had over $26,000 come in to build this brand new building. Can you give God a hand clap of praise this morning? Amazing. So we're excited. God obviously has his hand all over it. We're excited about what God is doing and where he is going. And if you don't believe we're growing, just look around you at some of the new faces. Go into all of these rooms that are just busting at the seams. God is up to something, and we want to be in step with him in order to minister to our community. Amen? And so we are going to, in the next coming few weeks, we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to be in a whole vision series that's coming up, leading up to presenting all of this to you. So exciting things are happening. We're planning for growth. We're doing all of these things to get ready for what God is about to do and is doing. Amen? And so this morning, because it's 2019, right? I've already written 2018 like 100 times. And this Sunday, brand new service, right? For the first time, 2019, first service. I want to talk to you guys about facing the new year, all right? And so today is, again, it's the first Sunday of the year, and we are 6 days in. How are you guys doing so far? Yeah? Okay. I've started mine a little snotty and a little congested. Started last Sunday right after service, and I knew it was coming on. I did everything I possibly could do, and it's just kind of migrated from the head to the chest. I'm like, what is going on in my body, right? And so 2019's had a rocky start for me. I want to give you a list of New Year's resolutions that people made in 2018. And it's also, by the way, estimated that 92% of all New Year's resolutions, what? Fail. How many of you guys do New Year's resolutions? Don't you lie. Sunday morning, don't you lie. Yeah, you want to set goals. There's nothing wrong with setting goals. But here's some of the top New Year's resolutions. 32% of all people set as a resolution to enjoy life to the fullest. All right, 30% say live a healthier lifestyle. 21% pay down debt. 20% is committed to save more and spend less. 19% of people commit to spend more time with family and friends, and 14% have committed to increase their income. And so we all set these goals, and we all start out the brand new year thinking 2019 is going to be a banner year, and we want it to be a banner year. Some of us are stepping into things that are brand new, maybe a brand new job. Some of us are dealing with family issues like I am back home, where you're like, man, could I have, stumbled worse into this 2019, right? And so we're all in different places in our lives, especially when we go into a new year. And the expectation is high. As I was preparing for this, there was I was looking through some tweets that people had set for their New Year's resolutions, and I found some funny ones, and I just want to share some of them with you. I shared some in my small group last Thursday. Just a little plug for small groups. If you're not in a small group, get into a small group. Look at your neighbor and say, get into a small group. Maybe you're not in a small group and you just told your neighbor to get into a small group, right? Small groups are awesome, all right? I just had one of our small group leaders and small group came up to me this morning, gave me a card and said, we just want you to know that we're praying for you and for your family. And that means a lot, all right? And so that's the power of small groups. It creates community. And so, but last Thursday in our small group, I read one of the funny tweets that I came across, and there's three of them, and I want to read them to you. The first tweet that I read was, I'd love to say new year, new me, but I'm only two stamps away from a free meal at KFC in their loyalty card. And it would be silly to ruin that now. That's how I think, right? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I know you think the same way, right? The second funny tweet I came across was, my New Year's resolution is to work on my low self-esteem, but I don't think I can do it. And the third one is, and I read this Thursday, is my New Year's resolution is to try to worry less and fill that time with, oh no, what am I supposed to fill the time with? This is already going terribly, right? So we're worrying about what we're going to fill our time with. And so New Year's resolutions can be a tricky thing. And so let me ask you a few questions this morning. What are you anticipating this year? Are you full of enthusiasm, looking forward to what each day will bring? Are you filled with a sense of dread, worried that this year will be worse than last year? Maybe we're too afraid to set New Year's resolutions or goals, period, because we're afraid of what might happen. And so we start off the year in fear. And can I suggest that your attitude, all right, your attitude, your frame of mind, your reaction to its events will largely determine that this year is a year of victory or a year of defeat. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that it goes beyond resolutions. It goes beyond what year it is. It goes beyond how we feel. It goes beyond what is happening to us at the present time. Thank you for your word that is a steady rock, that even though life may try to chip at it, it never falters. It's steady. It's constant. When everything around me is sinking sand, I can run to your word that establishes me and keeps my balance and is a platform for worship and joy and peace. And so, Father, today, as we start this new year, this first service of 2019, God, may you be with us. May you comfort us. May you set our attitude and our frame of mind in a place of victory and not defeat. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the Apostle Paul was never one to let circumstances conquer him, right? Through God's strength, he was determined to finish strong in his life. Listen to what his attitude was like in Philippians chapter 3, 11 through 14. I love this portion of Scripture. We're going to pull out some of these things this morning. Paul said, not that I have already attained all of this. So he is a self-aware man. He knows that there are shortcomings in his life. He knows that he's still got a ways to go. But he said, or I have already attained all my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so this scripture is full of all kinds of nuggets, and so we're going to break down three of those for you this morning. Number one, as we face the new year, I want you to recognize, number one, recognize the value of time. The value of time. Each day, there are 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds, and every one of them is a gift from God. Time is something we feel we never have enough of, right? Yet we give it away so easily. Someone once said, time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back again. So how do you value time? How do you value a year? Ask a student who's failed a grade how they value that year. How do you value a month? Ask a mother whose baby arrived prematurely what a month means. How do you value 1 week? Editors of a weekly newspaper can tell you the time crunch of a week. How can you value 1 hour? Ask someone who is terminally ill, waiting on a loved one to show up, and they can tell you the value and the importance of that hour. How do you value 1 minute? Ask someone who has missed a flight or who is late to a meeting that they can't reschedule. How do you value a second? Ask an Olympic medalist the value of a second. Each and every one of us have a different definition of an hour, of a second, of a week, of a month, of a year. We all are in different places in our life, and we value this differently, but we need to recognize that we are only allotted a certain amount of time in our life. That all of us are given an allotted time from our Heavenly Father to be about His business, to love, to forgive, to impart, and to give Him glory in our lives. Amen. Hebrews 3:15 says that today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion. I love how it says today. He doesn't give an ambiguous time scale. He just said today. If you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as you did when you were in your rebellion. Don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not next year, not next month, not in 10 minutes from now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of decision. Amen? So your memory can be your best friend, and it can be your worst enemy. And maybe this part of Or maybe this past year was a year of transition in your life. Maybe 2018 was a lot of shifting going on in your life. Maybe the enemy is dropping seeds of doubt, remorse, second-guessing yourself, wondering if God really said that. Remember in the garden when the devil came up and he talked to Eve? And the devil did this, and he is so crafty in the way he comes at us to deceive us. For some of you that may say the devil is there's nothing to him, he's weak and anemic. Listen to me. Know your adversary. Amen? Know your adversary because he is cunning. If he can convince two people that walks in the garden every day in the cool of the evening with the Heavenly Father right here side by side in perfection, he could deceive you. And here's how the enemy came at Eve. God said, you can have anything you want, but do not partake of this. And Eve was walking by herself one day, and the enemy came up to her and said, did God say? Did God truly say not to eat of this, that you would surely die? Did he really say that? And the reason why he may have said that is because if you do that, then you will be like him. And so he begins to make us doubt, and then he plays to our spirit. And so he begins to make us doubt things. And so if you're in a state of transition in your life, maybe the kids grew up and you're recent empty nesters, or maybe your job came to an end and you have and you're having a tough time paying your bills or making that transition, or maybe a loved one died and you are trying to deal with the lingering grief and loneliness, or maybe it was a time when sin got a hold of your life and now you feel the burden, the remorse of that guilt, and maybe you're feeling that condemnation of the decisions and the sin that you allowed to slip into your life. And you're coming into this new year wondering how in the world you're going to not make it through 2019, but how in the world you're going to make it through today. These things can cripple us and keep us chained to the past. That's why Paul said, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. Now, Paul's not saying compartmentalize it. He's not saying get control of it and stuff it down and deal with it later. Paul is saying, I recognize my past and I feel the shame and the remorse of it, but thanks be to God who gave me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is now giving Paul the opportunity to forget his past and walk forward into his destiny. Amen? And so that is what Paul is saying. And we need to consider the source of who is saying this as well. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul had a lot to forget. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. And Saul did this. He was a Pharisee. In other words, he was an expert at the law. And Saul was a perfectionist, and he followed the law to a T. And so Saul went after Christians. As a matter of fact, he was there when the first Christian was stoned to death, Stephen. And the Bible says that he didn't throw a stone, but he held the jackets of those who threw the stones, and he stood in agreement with what was happening. And so Saul was militant about going into towns and disrupting families, splitting them apart, stoning moms and dads, imprisoning whole families. He had a lot to forget. Saul had a lot of blood on his hands. Saul wasn't always Paul. And Pastor Jimmy wasn't always Pastor Jimmy. And you were not always who you are today. We all have past that we try to forget. And sometimes the enemy will come in and will say, did God truly forgive? Did God truly have enough grace for you? What you did? Hey, I tell you what, let's go back and let's relive what you did. Here's a highlight of what you did. How many of you guys have ever seen the highlight of what you did? Right? Of course. We don't need to be in bondage with our past, forgetting what is behind. The Apostle Paul called himself the chief of sinners. He said, there's nobody worse because I persecuted the church. I have that on my hands. I have that in my mind. I have that written across my heart. My spirit bears the scars of my sin. And because of that, I'm the chief of sinners. But thanks be to God who gave me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if God had enough grace for Saul, he's got enough grace for us to forget our past and to make it part of our testimony in order to belittle and defang the enemy. Amen? Number three, we need to establish priorities in our lives. Paul said this, "This one thing I do." Now, Paul did a lot of different things, but his top priority in his life was to press on forward to the goal, to win the prize that God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here's the thing. This one thing I do. Priorities do this. It keeps us from doing the wrong thing, even if it's good, even if it feels right. You see the banners in the sanctuary here? If you've been here any length of time, you know that these are our priorities. These are our core values at New Freedom. They're not complicated. We don't have a big, long sheet, a vision statement this long. These are our priorities. These are our values. Our values are discipleship, building people up so that they know who they are in Christ Jesus. Community, meaning two things. Ministering to our community in a way that sheds the love of Christ in practical ways. And community, meaning community with one another. That we're not in this fight alone. And our priorities is to build relationships with one another. That's why we have small groups. Worship. Every Sunday morning, we're here worshiping God, and we do it emotionally. We do it by clapping our hands. We do it with drums. We didn't have a drummer this morning. Sickness is really going crazy, all right? With guitar, with the piano, with the bass guitar, all right? I'd love to see somebody up here. We call it down south a fiddle, right? I'd love to see that. Singers. That's why we encourage you to raise your hands to teach you how to worship God, to teach you not only how to worship on Sunday mornings, but worship all throughout your week. Amen? We look over here to prayer. We have prayer night that we meet on Monday nights here to pray over one another, to pray for what God is doing in our church and community and so forth. Evangelism. Which is really reaching out to our community. Wherever we go, we're doing evangelism. Church planting, all right? Loving people. All of these are the priorities of our church. And priorities do this. It keeps us on the right track. How many of you guys are people pleasers? Raise your hand. It's all right. And you're doing that now to please me, right? Right? We're people pleasers, and so when we are people pleasers, that we get caught up in doing a whole lot of good because we don't want to disappoint anybody, and that good that we're doing leaves us depleted at the end of the day because we're doing too much. Priorities help us say no even to good things in order to be about the right things that God has called us to do. And so many times, as a church, there's so many good opportunities for us to do in our community, ministry here at the church. But if it doesn't fit into these priorities, I say no to it. A pastor that I sat under for 9 years had a plaque on his desk, and it said this, and it'll stick with me for the rest of my life. It says, "Knowing what not to do in ministry is just as important as knowing what to do in ministry." Why is that? Because of our priorities, our value system. And in our lives, if you don't have priorities, if you just kind of willy-nilly it and you just kind of a free spirit, let me encourage you to set priorities so that the freedom that you have can be directed in the right places. Amen? So that you're not giving out when you should not be giving out. right? Because we go through dry seasons in our spirit. And you have to know what season that you're in, because if you're giving out when you are depleted, you're doing nothing but hurting yourselves and robbing other people. We need to know what season that we are in. We need to know our values and our priorities and what drives us so that we can say no to the right things even when they're good. Amen? Man, that's good. That's good preaching, Brother Jimmy. That's some powerful preaching, brother. Amen. And so a while back, I saw this video. A lot of you guys have probably seen this, but this professor was talking about time management, and he set this glass cylinder up on the stage, and he had these rocks. They were round, and he said, "Now I want to ask you guys something in this class." He said, "Tell me when you think this glass is full." He started putting these rocks are probably about that big. He started putting them in there, and he got to the top, and they were like, "It's full." And he said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes, it's full. Don't put anything else in it." So he grabs another little container, and he has some pebbles, and he pours those pebbles all over it, and it seeps down in between the nooks and crannies of the bigger stones. And then he took the jar, and he shook it like this, and it all settled, and he added a little bit more. And they said, "Is it full now?" And they're like, "Yes, it's completely full." Then he took out from underneath his desk some sand, and he poured it all into the glass, and it seeped even into the deepest of smallest little nooks and crannies. And he took it, and he shook it again, and it all settled down. He added more sand on top of that. And he said, "Now, is it full?" And by that time, the class had caught on. And they said, "No, it's not." So they were wondering what was coming next. And he grabbed a pitcher of water, and he poured it all in there. It took him a little while because it had to get around all the small to bigger stones. And it filled up all the way to the brim, and he let it pour out onto the floor. And he talked about time management and about how the bigger rocks indicated our value system and what we value. And all the smaller rocks are smaller priorities in our life. And we can't get these things backwards. A lot of us are pouring sand in when we should be putting our big stones in. And if we get those out of whack, we'll never be able to do what is what is passionate, what is in our skill set, what we value the most. Some of us, even now, 6 days into this thing, need to pour our glass back out because we got it backwards. Get so caught up on the small things that we forget about what our priorities are, what drives us, what motivates us, what helps us to say no to good things in order to be about the right things that God has called us to do. If that's you this morning, I encourage you to pour your glass out and let's start over again. The good thing about God is His grace is sufficient for all of our blunders. His grace is sufficient for all of our mistakes. His grace is sufficient for our orneriness. His grace is sufficient for all of our struggles. His grace is sufficient every time we knock our head up against the same door every time. His grace is sufficient for us, for our stubbornness. Amen? His grace is sufficient. This morning, the message is simple. There are three things that I want you to get out of this message today. And that is this: recognize the value of your life, the value of your time. Your time is precious. Your time is valuable. Know the season in life that you are in order that you can operate correctly in the time that God has allotted you to have. Amen? Don't reap when you should be sowing. Number two, don't be in bondage to your past. Deal with it. As believers, we don't run from our past. We go headlong into it. We take responsibility for it. We repent and we call forth the name of the Lord in order to heal us and make our past something that we can give God glory for. Amen? And then lastly, we need to establish priorities in our life. Knowing what we value, what we hold dear to. In our family, what we hold dear to is that my kids, my wife, comes before anybody else. And I guard my time with my family militantly. I give my boys the space to tell me if I'm putting them in second place, if ministry is before them, or if I'm gone too much. I allow them to speak that into my life because it matters to me how they feel. I listen to my wife's voice before I listen to anybody else. Because these are our values. Our second value is that we as a family are not ashamed to express ourselves before our Heavenly Father. My value as a dad is to teach my boys how to be a man of God. And not to sit down with a book and teach them, but allow them to see that in my life. These are the things that we value. These are what drives us as a family. I could go on and on. But you set your values and your priorities. And when you do that, your time will matter more. What you can achieve will grow exponentially. And you will spend way less time on the regrets of your past. And you can remind the enemy of his future, that he's defeated, that he is powerless. Yes, he knows how to manipulate, but God makes us overcomers. Amen? Amen. Would you stand up with me this morning? Would you pull up Philippians 3 again? Philippians 3, 11 through 14. Listen to what Paul is saying. Not that I have already obtained all of this. Paul is saying I'm still a work in progress. Or have already arrived at my goal. He's still working at it. But he has a priority. You see that? You can't have a goal if you don't have priorities. But he said, I press on. Everybody say press on. Press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He's self-aware. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. I love the way he describes his journey. He said, this one thing I do, not thousand things I do, this one thing I do. He said, forgetting what is behind. And then he said this word to describe the process. Straining forward. Not skipping. Not frolicking. Not an easy pace. But straining forward. What makes an athlete, an Olympic athlete, be so regimented by their diet, by the grams of fat they eat and calories and so forth? What makes them forsake their family for a period of time and push their bodies to the limit every single day? It's because they have one thing that they want to achieve, this one priority, and it affects their time, it affects their mind, and it affects their priorities. Because they know at the end of the straining, at the end of the pressing on, they're going to achieve their goal. And Paul said, if you're going to run a race, run it in such a way to win it. Not just to participate, not just to be part of the crowd, but run that race in such a way that you win it. That we're striving, that we're moving, that we're straining and pushing forward. Jesus never said that we would be troubleless, that we would have ease, that we would just mindlessly go through this life into the next. There is a struggle that takes place. There is friction in our lives that happen. And if we don't understand that friction, if we don't understand the straining, then we'll give up. We'll quit because we don't understand it. God, why did you? I thought when I accepted you as Lord and Savior, you had my back, and now it's like you're not even looking, and I'm straining, and I'm struggling, and I'm doubting, and I'm about to give up, and I don't understand. But if we understand that straining and pressing forward is part of the process, we know that it's creating for us a greater reward than we can possibly imagine. We don't give up. If you're struggling today, if you're pressing, if you're straining, know that God is refining. God is restoring. He is renewing. He is establishing in you the ability to trust Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And none of that is possible without the process. But we've got to be good stewards of our time. We've got to recognize what season we are in. We've got to establish priorities in our life, and we can no longer continue to walk forward when we're constantly looking backwards. Today is a good day to start. Today. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? First and foremost, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, establish that first. And because of that, He will set the priority in your life. Today, if you say, Pastor Jimmy, man, that's me. I need Christ. I've walked with Him in the past. I need Him today. I'm feeling the weight of the sin that I've allowed in my life, and I'm living under condemnation, and I feel like there's no hope, and I need Christ today as my Savior. Would you raise your hand so that I can see you? Amen. Pastor, I want to go all out with Him. Today, I make my decision, amen, that He is my Lord and my Savior. And today, we're going to pray over those that are sick, those that are struggling and straining to move forward. Maybe you're in that struggle and that straining process now, and you need God's grace, and you need God's power and anointing. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Like, oh man, I'm in the fire right now, Pastor. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm struggling. I'm finding it very difficult. It was all I could do to get here this morning. If you'll notice, my hand's up. If that's you today, would you come to the altar? Listen, the altar is a place of renewal and restoration. The altar is not a place of shame. It's a place of power. It's a place of fresh starts and renewal. Amen? Amen. If that's you, just come on down. I want to pray over you. As a whole, we're gonna pray over ourselves. If you're dealing with sickness, would you please come as well? We want to pray over you this morning. I heard you back there coughing. Come on, if you're dealing with that, listen, This is what we do in New Freedom, okay? We give opportunity for people to come around the altar. If this is new to you, I encourage you to take that leap. If your heart's pounding, you know you need to be up here, just come on. We will cheer joyfully for you. Amen. Anybody else before we move on in prayer? All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to begin to pray. And then I want you to, if you would, just stretch your hand this way. Just in agreement. That's what that means. You're just in agreement with what I'm praying. First, I want to address the salvation. If that's you and you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, we also pray together here at New Freedom as well. We don't do it alone. We pray together. So would you pray with me all over the sanctuary? Lord Jesus, today I make you the Lord of my life. I leave my past where it belongs. And I look forward to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. Today, I release to you my past, my sin, my regret. It all belongs to you. I cast every burden onto you today. And I make you the Lord of my life. I trust you today. But Father, I just begin to pray over all of those that have been struggling. And they've been straining and pushing forward in their faith. And I pray, God, that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the fire, let us know that you are with us, that you are for us, that your back is not turned, that your head is not turned, that your mind is not somewhere else, you're not distracted, but you are with us, you are for us, and you are moving us forward. I don't feel it. I don't feel peace right now, but I know that you are with me. And I say that by faith today. And I worship by faith today. And I believe in faith today that you are working on my behalf. Thank you for restoring to me the joy of my salvation. Thank you, Father, for renewing a right spirit within me. Thank you, Father, that you never leave me, you never forsake me, you never throw me away when I have fallen. But you were there, just like you were there with Peter as he was sinking into the water, pulling me back up. Thank you for establishing me in my ways. Thank you for giving me strength to push forward, because I know that in pushing forward, that in straining forward, I'm going to reap a reward that's going to establish me all of my life and follow me into eternity. And so, Father, help me to keep my eyes on you and look at the long game and not just the short game. Father, I trust you. I choose today to trust you. I give you my fear. I give you my anxiety. And I trust you. I trust you. And Father, today, I pray over each and every person that is sick in this room, including myself. God, would you just begin to pour out your anointing, that oil of healing over each and every one of us in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for the healing power that comes from you. So, Lord, if you're sick, just lay hands on yourself right now. Just put your hand on your chest. Father, thank you for healing my body. Thank you for restoring my health. Thank you for renewing my strength. Thank you, Father, for divine health in the name of Jesus. Father, we choose today to walk out of this place reprioritizing our lives, taking that glass cylinder and dumping it back out and saying, Father, you fill it how you see fit. And I'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise as I move forward in what you have for me in the time that you have given me in the name of Jesus. Redeem the time in our lives, Lord. Redeem the time that we've spent wondering, complaining, in disbelief, in accusation toward you. Redeem that time. And you can do it in a moment, in an instant. So, Father, we thank you for the joy of the Lord. Thank you for removing guilt. Thank you for removing shame. You said, cast all your burdens onto you. Take my yoke. It is easy and light. So, Father, we take upon ourselves your yoke. Lead and guide us in our lives as we proclaim you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Can you give God some glory this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God.